So we've been in the middle of a series. It's quite interesting, actually, to think about it, because we don't normally do this, but we're only covering 8 verses over 8 weeks. And so you're getting lots of truth packed over very few words. But God likes to work that way. And sometimes we need to dig deep into His Word, and that's what we're doing on this series, this idea of being strong in the Lord. And to summarize the past month, we need to understand that we're strong in the Lord when we put on His armor. And that simply means that we need to know the truth, and we're taught this a lot. But what's coupled with that is we need to do it. And the two pieces of the armor that we've looked at this past 2 weeks are a metaphor. The belt is God's truth. And you can imagine Jude, if you remember him, when he's talking about this idea of putting on that belt and picking up your skirts and tucking it in so you'd be ready to run. But the primary point of the belt being God's truth is that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have one authority, that's God Himself. As God spoke through His Word. And then last week, Nate spoke to us about the breastplate of righteousness. And he talked about two elements to that righteousness. One was that we, in ourselves, can't make ourselves right with God. We need the blood of Jesus to cover us so that we have the righteousness of Jesus on us, that imputed righteousness. But the second part of that is imparted righteousness, the doing part. We have a place that God has given to us to grow in righteousness. And so we're picking up the verses here in 6, and I want to go back to verse 10, but then jump to verse 14. So verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord." And then verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." And the verse for today, "and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Now, frankly, the commentators that look at what Paul was writing aren't really sure what he meant by that. What do you mean by the readiness given by the gospel of peace? And that's wonderful for a preacher like me, because that means I can go in any number of directions. And so I have a particular emphasis that God has laid on my heart, and it's around the word gospel. But the big idea is that we are strong in the Lord when we put on the gospel. So the idea is it's action. There's something that we need to do. We need to do more than know the gospel, but that's really important. In order to put it on, you need to know what to do. But the question is, what are these shoes? Well, we've been reminded that Paul, he's very familiar with the Roman soldier, and so he's kind of thinking about this as an illustration to the people in Ephesus and those other people that would read it. And so he's saying, what are these shoes? Well, in Roman times, they would have been sandals, likely because they're warriors, full leather sandals with a leather bottom on it, and often fitted with nails. And I have a modern equivalent. I happen to borrow this. I want you to notice particularly the depth of the spike. If you can imagine a very large man, over 300 pounds, having all the rest of his football gear on, but he's now going to do battle on the line. But it's the shoe that enables him to get the traction. Could you imagine standing him on that grass in bare feet? Could you imagine if the opposition had shoes and he only had bare feet? He wouldn't be a football player for very long. So he needs the shoe, and it's this idea of traction, this idea that we need to push off the ground. But the other piece of modern armor, or Roman armor, is that Nate told you about the breastplate that went from here down to the mid-thigh. But there was something called the greave, which in today's equivalent, and my apologies for mixing metaphors, the hockey shin guard. They don't wear these in football, strangely enough. Well, they do in hockey. But the idea is that the shin guard does the rest of the protection. It protects you from the thigh down to the ankle. But you got the point being, I'll leave this for you so you don't forget, is you got to put them on. Now, Nate told you about his brother and his friend that put on the stormtrooper helmet. But I can't imagine anybody playing video games putting on their football shoe or their shin pads. It doesn't work. It's something you got to do. You got to use it. So we got to put on the gospel. And what is this good news? The gospel is simply good news. That's what it means. The good news is God's truth. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture. And so when Paul talks about the gospel, or even our Bibles, the gospels of Matthew and Luke and John, the whole Bible is God's gospel. So to put on the gospel, to put on the readiness of the gospel, to put it together, we must put on God's truth. It's not good enough to go to a football game and leave the shoes in the closet. If you know anything about hockey, you're not going to want to go and play hockey and leave your shin pads behind. It hurts way too much. You got to put it on. But similarly, with God's truth, we need to put it on. And one commentator said, we got to use the truth to make us firm in the day of conflict with our foes. And that fits very well with Ephesians chapter 6, because earlier on in the passage, we know that we're wrestling against the forces of evil. And how do you wrestle against the force of evil if you do not put on the word, if you do not take the word of God and bring it to yourself and use it against the force of evil? But the gospel is also used for other purposes. And Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And this is so important. Every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ right now had to come to Jesus Christ through this gospel. And we had to understand our condition. And our condition without God helps us to better appreciate that good news. Ephesians 2:12 says that we were separated from Christ, having no hope, without God in this world. He goes on in verses 1 and 3 of the same chapter. He says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were sons and daughters of disobedience. We were by nature children of wrath. It helps us to magnify God to understand how much we are separated from God, how much there's nothing that we can do to put on our own righteousness. We were born, we live in this world, we're children of wrath. And yet, knowing that we're children of wrath, the Bible goes on to teach us from Ephesians chapter 2 again, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. By grace, we have been saved. That grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, that being willing to accept Jesus' work in our own lives. This is what reconciles us to God, and this is what makes it the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, that we can now be at peace with God as opposed to being under his wrath. And I'm working on this idea of gospel in three different ways. So the first aspect is that the gospel is that God is our strength. We get this from Ephesians chapter 6, because he says, be strong in the Lord. He is the one that enables us to be strong. But we also see that at the beginning part of Ephesians in chapter 1. For in fact, God is our everything. He's our everything. He chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world. I've been studying this for quite a bit because I've been teaching this as a Bible study to the interns. And just this whole idea that before the world was even created, God already had his eye on us. He already had determined that he would choose us as sons and daughters, that he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters. And in order to do that, he redeemed us. He forgave us. He lavished his grace upon us. And I've been trying to, how do you imagine what it means to be lavished upon by Almighty God? I had this idea of, you know, if somebody was brought to the front of this sanctuary, but the difficulty would be we'd have to get rid of the roof. And that, you know, if you had poured upon you millions upon millions of dollars just fluttering down on you, I don't know if that gives you a sense of lavish, but we're talking about Almighty God who says, I've lavished my grace upon you. I've given you an inheritance. I've sealed you with my Spirit. I have given you the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward us who believe. He made us alive together with Christ. And by the way, that immeasurable power that God gave to us is the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead, to raise Jesus from the dead and seat him in the heavenly places. That's the power that God is working in our lives. And we need to figure out how to get a hold of it and how to use it, how to get those truths in us so that we can apply the truth of God. He made us alive together with Christ. He seated us with Christ. He has shown us the immeasurable riches of his grace. He gave us the gift of faith. We are God's workmanship, created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do you think of yourself as God's creation, prepared to be used by God? That he has prepared you in advance for those good works that you can't even fathom that are actually ahead of you? You might even not have thought that for. But God has prepared it works. So we got to get the gospel into us. But the second thing, or point three for you, is God created us to get the gospel in to those around us. Now, I've put to get the gospel in quotes because it's part of our mission statement. We say that we make known the greatness of God by the lives we live, by the love we show, and the work we share. And we want to explain that this work we share has two aspects to it. One is to get the gospel in, and the other is to get the gospel out. And most of this sermon is about getting the gospel out, but I want to connect to three pieces. To get the gospel in, Matthew 28 is a well-known verse because it's about going out to the gospel. And praise God, through the camps, we've gone out. Through our mission team in Cambodia, we've gone out. We go out in many different ways. And Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And my focus for getting the gospel in is this teaching them. You, me, each one of us are to teach one another. That's part of our responsibility. And I think this comes fairly easy, which is the reason I don't want to dwell on it. There's lots of opportunity to help get the gospel in. For families, moms and dads, you get a wonderful opportunity to get the gospel into your children. And I'm pretty sure, having watched my own children grow up and now watching my grandchildren, that they will get the gospel into me and get the gospel into you. There will be ways that your children will get the gospel into you that you didn't see coming. But it's a wonderful thing to see God's truth being made known. We have the pleasure of getting the gospel in by being together in Bible studies. We have the opportunity to get the gospel in when we encourage one another, speaking the truth of God to one another. My hope is that when you're coming into the church, you have an opportunity to give a word of encouragement to somebody. When you're leaving at the end of a service, you can talk to somebody and you can bless them. You can ask them how they're going. You can give a word of truth to somebody that would be really encouraging. And the fourth point is that God created us to get the gospel out. And for most of us, this means that to get the gospel out into those he brings into our lives. Very, very few of us will actually go out in the mission field. And even for our team that's in Cambodia, they're only out for a couple of weeks, and then they're coming back. Our mission field is actually where we're planted. And somebody said, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. So for us, the mission field is those around us, family members that don't know Jesus, friends, co-workers, acquaintances. And so I go back to Matthew 28:19, because it says, go therefore and make disciples. And this is where the sermon really comes home to me. I've known this verse for a long time. I've been a believer now for 43 years. When I first came to Christ, I was taught this verse. But it's been really challenging. What do you mean? I got to go and tell somebody about Jesus. Well, I learned about the Great Commission. Even as a young believer in Christ, I was encouraged to put together my testimony just to tell people how I came to Christ and what I was before I came to Christ and what Christ was doing in my life. Okay, I can do that. I was encouraged how to speak the gospel. Back then, it was the four spiritual laws. That tract is still here, so you can still use it. I even did some training so I could go out and speak to people. I don't know about the training, though. That pretty well frightened me off from sharing the gospel. But I don't want it to frighten you, because in the end, it would have been something I should have pursued. And as time went on, I became more hesitant and more afraid. And I don't know if you felt like that. I don't know if it's the culture we live in. I don't know if it's myself. But I became more and more hesitant to speak the truth of God, whether it would be because I was concerned about offending family, or wanting to be sensitive to fellow workers or friends, or maybe it was my own feeling of awkwardness, embarrassed. And this became a great, great burden in my life. A great burden in my life, because the scripture is very clear. Go, therefore, and make disciples. We're called to do this. And there's many other verses that call us to do this. Now, I've been very encouraged over the years, and I've been very attentive and have retained some of the things that Mike has taught us. And one of the things that I remember him saying in some of his sermons is we've got to become more bold. Okay, but how do you do that? Oh, speak the name of Jesus. Don't just speak the name of God. Lots of people speak the name of God, but speak the name of Jesus. Be a little bit more pointed in who you're praying. Look for opportunities. Okay, I could look for opportunities, good, but not too many came along. But that was okay by me as long as I was looking for opportunities. Develop friendships. And Mike led the way. He joined a running club so that he could develop friendships. I like playing golf, so I didn't join a golf club, though. And last year, he took a step further. You got to do more than just simply look for opportunities. You got to create opportunities. Create opportunities. And that really challenged my heart. I've been kind of going along saying, God, I got this burden. I got this feeling of guilt. I'm just not doing a very good job on figuring out how to get the gospel out. But I took it as a challenge to say, okay, if I got to learn how to create opportunities, I got to do something about it. And God's given me an opportunity. I've been doing some volunteer work for Teen Challenge now. It's coming on 3 years. And so I was aware that they teach their students how to evangelize and that they actually send them out to do street evangelism. And so I said, okay, I'm going to take this command seriously. I'm going to go and learn how to create opportunities. And so I can tell you, it was uncomfortable. It was unnatural. But I knew that I needed to trust God to take action. And God has really enforced this importance of taking action from 2 Corinthians 5. And so here is Paul writing, and this is the word of God to us. And he says, all this, by the way, the previous verse is that we are new creatures in Christ. So the fact that we are new creatures from God, who is through Christ reconciled us to himself, So here we are, new children in God, and God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us another responsibility, not only put on the armor, but in this particular case, that ministry of reconciliation. That is that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We can't do anything about people's sins, but we can do a lot about the fact that we are called to go and do something. And the verse goes on. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. God making his appeal through us. We are ambassadors for Christ. And what really struck me is that I don't have a choice. I don't get to say, God, I don't want to be your ambassador on Mondays and Tuesdays. Wednesdays and Fridays, maybe afternoon, that's okay. It's not a choice. I am Christ's ambassador. I am Christ's ambassador simply by the fact that I am now a child of God, and so are you. The choice that I have is, am I going to be a good ambassador or a poor ambassador? And that was really speaking to me. I've been a poor ambassador. I understand what that looks like. I've been afraid. I've been nervous. But I needed to learn that, no, I can do something about this. Go back to what we're studying. I can do something about this because God says I can be strong in him. I can do something about this because God says, I have created you for good works. I have created you for good works. And one of those good works is to get the gospel out. Okay, so I can be strong in you, God. You've created me for good works. You've made me an ambassador. That means that you're going to train me. There is a way to be trained. And so here are some practical suggestions that I've learned or reinforced to get the gospel out. The first one is that you need to prepare yourself. Now, this is pretty significant because for whatever reason, we think that when we come to Christ, it should be easy for us to share the gospel. But the fact of the matter is, it's not. It's unnatural. Even coming to Christ was being unnatural in the first place. We came from different backgrounds, different places in our lives, but we certainly didn't know what it meant to be Christians. The Bible talks about us becoming babies in Christ and growing up into maturity. We needed to learn the Bible. How do you take this word, the word of God, the word of God that we're to stand on, that belt of truth, and boil it down into a few sentences? It takes work. It shouldn't surprise me that it's difficult to get the gospel out if I haven't thought, how am I going to do that? How am I going to bring that down to a few sentences that I can speak into somebody? It takes effort. It also means me taking God at his word. If God said, I'm going to be an ambassador, then I have to say to God, okay, so what does that look like? God, you've commanded me to go out and make disciples. Okay, what does that look like too? But the good news is that God has prepared us. What I discovered over this past year is that the fact that I've been walking in Christ for 43 years has been really, really helpful. Really helpful. There's lots of things that God has put into my heart, into my soul, that I can use for God. And he's done that for you too. And it's not only for people that have been at it for a long time. People who are young in Christ can take the word of God. So you need to prepare yourself. Ask God to give you a great burden for those around you. For without Christ, they are without hope. And frankly, the biggest driver that's going on in my life right now is recognizing that I've been a believer in Jesus Christ for 43 years, and I have said very, very little about Jesus to my own family. I have a brother and his family are really committed Scientologists, but we kind of have this understanding going on. He doesn't talk about Scientology, I don't talk about Jesus. Other members of my family, they're just not interested in the scripture, and we just simply do not talk about Jesus. But last year, I had the opportunity to go to my brother when I was talking to him about the health problems I had, and I said, I want to apologize to you. For 42 years, which was a year ago, we've kind of lived with one another, and you don't tell me about your religion, I don't tell you about mine. But I got to tell you about my hope in Jesus. I hope you don't have to get to something that serious to talk to your family. But this is what I want to do. And so my burden is for my family and those around me, God, those that God puts. And may God give you such a burden. So the second thing you need to do is you need to train yourself. Now this would seem obvious, but it would seem to me, if you're like me, that we don't do much training. So if it's helpful, find a book on evangelism. Make a point of developing and practicing your testimony. How many of you right now could actually turn around and say, hey, where was I before I came to Christ? How did I come to Christ? What's God doing now? In just a few minutes. Well, I would tell you a year ago, I couldn't have told you that. I could work on it, but I certainly couldn't have just stood in front of somebody and say, hey, let me know what's happened. Find somebody to practice with. It's not good enough to just write it out. You got to hear yourself talking. Find you someone to train with. Find, and here's the really daring part. Would you be willing to do some field training? This was the really scary part for me. What do you mean? I got to go out and actually try this? But I did. And there are good people who can help you right here in the congregation. I think of Julie Mix and Chris Standish, Chuck Stover, and Darren Connors. And I'm thinking even of Ted and Heidi, though I didn't ask their permission. But I know that they are people who evangelize. And there may be others that I don't know about, but there are people in our congregation that have experience that if you wanted to come alongside and say, hey, I'd like to learn, I'd like to actually see this in the field, could you show me? They'd be willing to do that. Nate's friend Corey, he's a pastor with another church, but he's a pastor of evangelism, and he does evangelism courses. And yeah, there's field training there too. And we can borrow on him. He offers that to people beyond his own church. For the past year, I've been going out on a weekly basis to share the good news, downtown London. Now, I have no reason to go to downtown London. 20 years I've been in London. I don't go to downtown London except to evangelize. And my teacher was Darren Connors, a young man who's in our congregation now, but with Teen Challenge at the time. He'd only been a believer a couple of years. And it was wonderful to see his enthusiasm and to see how afraid I was. Here's a young man, didn't know Christ more than 18 months, but he had been trained. He had this sense that, hey, it's okay to try things. And so I'm out there, I'm learning from him. On Tuesdays, I was his teacher because he was in my Bible study. On Mondays, I'm his student. And so we're going out to Dundas Street and Richmond Street. We're saying, okay, so how do you do this? Oh, you just walk up to somebody. What do you mean you walk up to somebody? Well, you got to understand that if this is God's work that he's prepared in advance for you to do, then there will be divine appointments. Now, you also have to learn that some people are going to say, no, thank you. And they're not always going to be so polite. But there will be people that actually stop. Strangely enough, I would never stop, personally, but maybe I'm not one of those divine appointments. But when God has somebody ready to stop, and a simple question we use is, we walk up to somebody, two of us, and I say, can I ask you a question? Sounds innocent enough. What I didn't know is how to get into the conversation, right? Well, that's pretty simple. Can I ask you a question? Well, the good news about the training is you need to know what the second question is. But if the person is willing to say yes to the first question, then you're in. At least you're in. You've got a way to start talking. I've learned that it's okay to experiment. I had this great idea because I was reading a book by Bunyan. It says, what's the worth of your soul? So I wasn't willing to try that. I didn't want to try that as a learner, but I said to one of the other guys, would you mind trying this question? Could you walk up to someone and say, can I ask you a question? And they say yes. Then you say, what is the worth of your soul? Now, that's a really deep question, and if you ever have a chance, it's worth it for you to read Bunyan's book. But we discovered that doesn't work on the streets of downtown London. It doesn't work. But the point was, it's okay to experiment. If it doesn't work, try something else. It's okay to mess up. Guess what? We're out there training. I'm now a leader of people, so I'm training other people. So they got to learn how to mess up too. By messing up, you learn how to figure it out. We learn that we don't have all the answers. But that's okay too. We have what God has given to us. You have a testimony that God has made a difference in your life. You have the truth that you've learned to this point in your life, and you use it. So the third thing is that you need to trust God to go before you. You got to believe that God is going to create those opportunities, because he said, I've prepared you in advance for good work. This is God's work. We are commanded to sow seed, which means we are commanded to get the truth out as is fitting for the situation. And that doesn't mean that you get to get all the truth out. God will use many people often to bring a person to Christ. And so you don't know where you are in the journey. It doesn't matter where you are in your journey. You pick up the conversation where you are, and if there's an opportunity to speak truth, you speak truth. God is the one who saves. Am I still nervous? Oh, you bet. But I'm nervous up here preaching too. I'm nervous in lots of situations. We shouldn't be held back by nervousness. It's just part of life. But it is becoming more natural for me to share this good news, to share God's truth to the people that God is bringing across my path. And my hope is that I want to become more and more comfortable to speak out for Jesus, such that it becomes part of my day-to-day conversation. It's part of who we are as ambassadors to Christ. Now I'm determined to learn. Now I've experienced something that says, hey, this is doable. It is something I can learn, something you can learn. So God has called us to do his part. He says he is our strength. He says he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He says we are his ambassadors. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Then understand that, like any good soldier, you need teaching and training and practice. And then so in keeping with the Daniel series, I'd like to dare you. Just a little dare, but I'd like to dare you to follow up with somebody this week and make a commitment to become more confident to get the gospel out. This could be a journey that could take a while, but so what? Get going on the journey. Entrust yourself to God. Entrust yourself to God and let him take you in that journey. I have discovered that this helps to complete me. I have discovered great joy in being able to speak the Word of God into my own life. I've gone from, oh, you got to do your Bible study, to, oh, I need it. I need the Word of God in me. I have discovered great joy in being able to speak to fellow believers in Jesus about who God is and how wonderful he is and how it is that he's more than able for every situation that we have. And now to add that component, to be able to take an opportunity to speak to people that don't know about Jesus and say, you need Jesus too, to implore them to come to Christ, to implore them, because I am Christ's ambassador, because God has given to me the ministry of reconciliation. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to experience and something that God holds out to you and I. So here's my prayer, is that God would use his word to you today to give you hope, to give you hope to say, yeah, I can get the gospel out. I'm going to have to do some work, but God will help me. He will lead you. He will train you. He will delight to work through you because you're his soldier. You're his ambassador. So let us strive together to be the best soldiers, the best ambassadors, the best children of God that we can be. And to God be all the glory. Let's pray. Father, it is a good reminder that without you, we have no hope. Without you, Father, we have no hope. But that in you, O God, we have all hope. In you, God, we can be everything that you have made us to be. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know, that we can be fully the children of God that you mean us to be. And Father, I pray for myself as I pray for each one here, that we might know our place is to be your ambassador. And Father, I pray that you would give them such a desire that they would want to be the best ambassador that you would enable them to be, so that they might be able to speak out your truth in a way that would be so helpful and such a blessing to those around them. God, use us as we put on your truth. Use us, Father, that we might be a blessing to those around us. And we ask all these things, Lord God, in your Son's name. Amen.